The church calls this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday. Our Lord says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My brothers and sisters, how can we be sure when our Lord is speaking to us? How do we know that it's really his voice and not the voice of another? How do we discern that? Sometimes in prayer, we think, okay, Lord, I think that's you, right? But maybe I'm just talking to myself. Or maybe that's the evil one alluring me in some way, showing me something that appears good but isn't really good for me. What is the way we know with 100% certitude that it's the voice of our Lord? On the night of the Last Supper, when he's with the chosen 12, he says to them, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Whoever hears you, hears me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. Who is he talking to? The apostles, handed on through their successors. How does our Lord speak to us? He speaks to us through his church, all down through the ages. He's saying this to his apostles the night before he's about to die, when his earthly life is coming to a close, so that for all generations the church will know, gosh, there is a way we can know without a doubt that it's his voice that we are hearing. And that's why on that same occasion he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will send my Spirit, the Advocate, who will remind you of everything that I've said, who will guide you into the fullness of the truth. And of all the apostles, who is the spokesman? Who is the head of the apostles? Simon Peter, the first pope of the church. Right before our Lord ascends into heaven, he is with Simon Peter alone. And we're all familiar with Simon's triple attestation of love. Our Lord says, Simon Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. What does our Lord command him right after Simon Peter affirms his love for him? Three times in a row. Simon Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Tend my flock. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. The good shepherd, right before he ascends to heaven, what does he do? He hands over his ministry of shepherding. That there is someone, a representative in his place to guide the church. That's why now, 2,000 years later, we have a successor of St. Peter. Because that ministry was to be handed on for all ages. And it's why the church has discerned that this gift that Peter was given, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks through him. So that we can trust whenever Peter, whenever a successor of Simon Peter speaks for his church, in matters of faith or morals, he will not err. He will be preserved from falling into falsehood because he's a representative of Christ our Lord. Now, sometimes people say, well, okay, maybe that was a gift for Simon Peter, the first pope, right? Or for the first few hundred years of the church while things were getting started. But really, now? Is God really all that attentive still today? A couple of years ago, right when I arrived at the presentation, I shared with you part of a story that I told you one day I would expand upon. The part that I shared, a good friend of mine, when I was in Rome, he was a young priest. He'd been sent there to finish his doctoral studies. While he was in Rome, another friend of his, another priest from the United States, was sent over to be trained as an exorcist. Well, that young man, when he got there, he did not yet know how to speak Italian. So when he was called to go to his first exorcism, where one of the chief exorcists of the Church of Rome was giving some sort of a seminar with a real-life exorcism, he had to invite my friend to translate for him. So this is the part that I shared before. This was right after the death of Pope John Paul II, 2 days after the election of Pope Benedict, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who took the name Pope Benedict. The woman who was being exorcised was a middle-aged woman, probably in her 40s or 50s. There were many of the classical indications that the possession was real. She had a superhuman strength. There were numerous people who had to hold her down. She spoke over 5 languages fluently, jumping from one to the next, including Latin, ancient Greek, and so forth. At the start of the rite, this chief exorcist, there are 6 priests present in the room. He asked all the priests in the room to raise their hands to pray over this woman. My friend said he lifts his hands, and before they even uttered a single word of prayer, the demon in this woman began to shriek in the most hideous voice. And my friend said he just looked down at his hands and he realized all the more what it means to be a priest. That his hands are not his own. That's the part I shared 2 years ago. The part I wanted to expand upon. In the rite of an exorcism, there is a litany of saints. When you invoke St. Joseph, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us. So the chief exorcist is going through this litany. John Paul II had just died. Many people thought he was a holy man, so the chief exorcist, he invokes John Paul II. And all, this is something you wouldn't do unless you're one of the you're the top dog, right, the head guy. It's rather presumptuous. My friend said that as soon as he called upon John Paul II, there was the strongest reaction of any saint he had yet named. All the priests looked at each other and they go, oh my gosh, he really was the saint he appeared to be. When they called upon Our Lady, and this is the point that I wanted to get to, my friend said there was a presence in the room that was tangible, that was palpable, and they knew that there was nothing stronger in all of creation. And the demon was terrified. And he said in that moment, it was like for just a glimpse, the veil was torn between the natural world and the spiritual world, between the material and the spiritual. And it was as if they were hearing a conversation that they weren't supposed to have any part of. The evil spirit who was possessing this woman was pleading his case to a superior demon. And he's crying out, he says, now remember, Pope Benedict's name, his baptismal name is Joseph Ratzinger. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger became Pope Benedict. This demon says, there was nothing I could do. There was nothing I could do. It's not my fault. I couldn't stop him. I could not stop Joseph. She intervened. They all knew who Joseph was. And they had just called upon Our Lady. They knew who she was. Did God the Father have a hand in the selection of Pope Benedict? Does he ever leave his church? How could he? The church is the body of his Son, the bride of his Son. He will continue to speak through her for all ages to guide his faithful. Just recently, I am rereading a book of St. Teresa of Avila, a doctor of the church, a great Carmelite nun, a mystic. Her opening, in the opening paragraph of this book, one of the greatest works of spirituality ever written, this is how she starts. It will be the fault of ignorance, not malice, if I say anything contrary to the teachings of the Holy Roman Catholic Church in my writing. It will be the fault of ignorance, not malice, because I would never contradict the church. Because in doing so, I would know that I am separating myself from Jesus Christ. And I close with this line from St. Augustine. A man possesses the Holy Spirit, or a woman possesses the Holy Spirit, to the extent of his love for Christ's church. A man possesses the Holy Spirit to the extent of his love for Christ's church. Do we love the church? Are we her faithful sons and daughters?